1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're not gonna
take it.
No, we ain't gonna take it.
We're not gonna take it. Anymore.
Shannon's gonna tell us what we're not gonna take.
Well, now I'm confused.
What?
Well, what did you say? Because I was talking, I didn't hear what you said.
I don't remember.
Oh. We could listen back.
I got wrapped up in the song.
The very exciting song that we were singing.
I think the tone of voice I was using in the beginning.
Yeah.
I then said, you know what you're in for.
Oh. Okay.
Just like, got you again, back at Song Salad.
Tricked ya. You're eating a song salad.
Making you eat your veggies.
I was just thinking about things that start with we're. And that was like
one
of the first things that that are recognizable that start with we're.
That's great.
And I don't
know. What's another one?
Well, you're going to waste them.
Oh, are we going to save them?
I don't know.
Yeah, we should save them.
Don't
tell
us. Also, I don't know any other ones off the top of my head.
I can think of one other, but I'll save it. But if you weren't going to take something, what would you not take?
I would not take all the bullshit that's happening with the detention centers.
Yeah, that's
right
one
now.
Of them.
That's one of them. Went to the march this weekend. It was wonderful.
Yay. If you marched, thank you.
Yeah, there was so many people in New York City who marched across the Brooklyn Bridge. It was awesome.
Megan said that there was an estimate of around 25,000, but she thought that was low.
Yeah, it seemed. I mean, there were so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that seems low to me. Yeah, it was just a good thing to see everybody coming out. And like, what was really fun actually was walking along the bridge and then like, all of the cars along the bridge just honking and like thumbs upping like out their windows and like cheering like as we went by. So yeah, maybe there was only 25,000 people there, but everyone driving across the Brooklyn Bridge was pretty excited about it too.
Cool. That's great.
Yeah, it was good. We're not going to take it. Mm-mm.
Anymore. You know what we are going to take?
Bites out of a song salad.
Yes. Which is... when we take a random genre of music and a random topic from Wikipedia and combine the two into a short song.
Mm-hmm. And we do that with the help of you, our loyal vegetarians. You suggest our salad spinner sound effect.
Yes, you do.
Which is a noise or an impression or just some goofy prompt that you give to us that we do while we spin the salad spinner to get our topic and genre.
And I will say, you're too good at it.
Yeah, you guys are really like, like these are getting to be like whose line is it anyway prompts.
They are.
Do you know what I mean?
They are. You know, I was starting to think about this the other day and then I stopped myself from thinking about it too much.
Okay. Interesting.
But I was wondering if we are creating a dom sub relationship with our listeners by doing these salad spinners. Because we are literally bending to the beck and call of our listeners.
So far, we've done basically anything anyone has suggested we do.
Like one of our listeners might be like, hey, do this. And we'll be like, yeah.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And then they'll like, I don't want to say get off on it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I'll cut that.
I mean, like maybe like, are you guys weirdos or are you cool?
If you've ever submitted a salad spinner as a weird thing, let us know. But that aside, today's salad spinner suggestion comes from Claire Dixon.
Total weirdo, Claire Dixon. No, just kidding.
@Claire_Dixon.
Yes. Thank you, Claire.
And she says,
the internal thoughts of a crash test dummy as it crashes in a car.
Very good.
Very good. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm guessing that's not a weird thing.
I mean, look, rule 34, you know?
So, what would a crash test dummy be thinking about as it careens towards its, well, not death, but...
demise? Do they demise? Yeah.
Shannon has an idea. She turned her laptop screen away from me. She's furiously typing with one hand.
Because I'm holding my mic in the other.
She's not satisfied with what she's found.
You gave up? I gave up.
Oh, what were you trying for?
I was trying to find like some kind of good pun.
A crash test dummy pun.
Yeah.
I can come up with one.
Go for it. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking.
Yeah. Scott's going to edit all this out, but it's been 8 minutes.
It's been 3 days. I'm very thirsty.
We're still here waiting for Scott to think. Remember, wait, what was the thing that you like couldn't think of another like animal sound?
Oh, the farm animals?
Yeah, you were like...
I was like, chicken?
Chicken.
And
then your brain died and you could not think of a single other farm animal.
I'm trying to come up with a crash test dummy pun.
It's hard.
And it's hard. And I've also had many drinks.
Yeah, I was going to say, Scott came here from a party and I'm not sure. Scott is very good at hiding how intoxicated he is.
From the police.
No, from your friends also.
Who says my police aren't my friends?
Your police.
My police. I own them.
This is going to be an interesting episode. Think of your pun. What's your pun?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so excited to be the first crash test dummy riding in a Kia Optimami. Help me. Crash.
I don't even want to talk about this.
That I was trying to think of car names and like what they could sound like.
Bad.
It was really bad.
It was really
Let's
bad.
Move on.
Spin.
Yeehaw.
Contemporary country
music.
Okay.
We've done some precursors to this genre.
Mm-hmm.
We've done bluegrass. Mm-hmm. We've done skiffle, which is related to country music
a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a British one.
Yeah, there's country music in Britain.
Okay. Scott has become the unreliable narrator of this episode of Song Salad, just FYI.
Don't get me started on beans.
We've done like country adjacent things.
Yes.
We did acapella country or something.
That was about an acapella country album.
Yeah.
As a topic.
I guess that's true.
Cajun music sort of fed into country.
What was good old Swimming Hole All Damn Day?
Well, that was
that was a
R&B?
soul song, but it was about right. Okay.
But we're going to do contemporary country.
Yes, which is going to take a little bit of zeroing in on.
Yeah.
Because there isn't really like a definition of contemporary country. It's just kind of like the more recent.
Whatever the most popular country music is at the time.
Yes.
Specifically, we're looking at the 2000s to the present. The biggest artists of that time period have been...
Yeah.
Carrie Underwood.
Yep.
Who won the fourth season of American Idol and then has since become one of the most prominent recording artists of 2006 through 2016. Taylor Swift,
mm-hmm.
who has since left the label of country.
Yeah.
And has gone solidly into the world of pop, but she started out in contemporary country music.
There's also things like, do you remember Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow's song Picture?
Ugh.
And
yes.
That
2001.
Was, yeah. And that was so in this kind of era of people like kind of transitioning like either in or out of country.
Mm-hmm.
This marked Kid Rock's transition from hard rock to a country rock hybrid.
Yep.
That would later produce another major crossover hit, 2008's All Summer Long.
All Summer Long. I remember that song.
Oh, Darius Rucker.
Former frontman for Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yep. Began a solo country career.
Mm-hmm. Also, Lady Antebellum won five Grammys in 2010.
Yep.
Including the coveted Song of the Year and Record of the Year for Need You Now.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there are a whole bunch of bands like Lady Antebellum
mm-hmm.
that I always hear their names.
Yep.
And then I instantly forget their names.
Yep.
And like, if
Little Big Town is really popular, they're one of them like that. They're on like every award show now. They're always performing.
There's another one too. It's like a place name and then like a collective noun name. So like the something brothers or like the
Smothers Brothers.
No.
The Smuckers Jam.
Smash Brothers.
The Super Smash Mouthers.
Yes. That was it. How'd you know? But in any case, and for whatever reason, I feel like they're almost always like male fronted groups.
Yeah. I don't know. Country, I feel like, has a good distribution between male and female.
Yeah, but I think that if it's going to be a group, it's almost always men, and then there's like a lot of solo female artists and solo male artists.
Sure,
certainly. But like,
makes sense.
Groups, I feel like, are almost always men for some reason. I don't know. That's just my impression.
We'll try to find out who that group is that you're talking about.
Yeah, if I saw the name of it, I would recognize it.
Other notable singers: Kacey Musgraves, Miranda Lambert, Toby Keith,
Big and Rich, Jason Aldean.
And then there's a subgenre called bro country, but we're not going to get into that.
We're not. I think what we did bro step.
Yeah, we're
too recently to get into bro country.
Let's find an example.
Let us find an example.
Should we go with Need You Now, the multi award winning song by Lady Antebellum?
Yeah, why not?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Here is Need You Now.
And I wonder if I ever cross your mind. For me, it happens all the time. It's a quarter after one. I'm all alone and I need you now. Say.
It's a little drunk recording song salad.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I was just saying, I think if artists like Shania Twain, who was a big 90s country pop star, if she was still she is still putting stuff out, I guess. But if it were on the radio today,
yeah,
that's the kind of stuff it would sound like now. That country pop crossover.
Yeah.
Also, post 9/11, there was a resurgence in national popularity of country music due to the patriotism that was addressed in a lot of country music. Specifically, Alan Jackson, who had his ballad called Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning. He also wrote songs that celebrated the military, highlighted the gospel, and emphasized home and family values over wealth. There was also a Charlie Daniels song called This Ain't No Rag, It's a Flag, which promised to hunt the perpetrators down like a mad dog hound. There was also that one song, I forget who the artist was, who had that lyric about, we're going to put a boot in your ass because we're the USA.
Yeah. Well, what about the I'm proud to be an American?
Oh, that was way pre-9/11,
at least I know
wasn't it?
I'm free. No, that was 9/11, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? Hold on. God Bless the USA was recorded in 1983.
Wait,
released in 1984 by Lee Greenwood.
Oh my God. Well, after 9/11, it like became the national anthem of the United States.
Especially with middle school choirs, with one lucky choir member who got to hold the crash cymbals for And I'd Gladly Stand Up Next to You. So maybe we could do a patriotic country song.
Didn't someone re-record it?
Probably.
After 9/11? I don't know. It
definitely gained a following
again. Yes, it did.
After that time.
Yeah. So, boy, if you tasked me with writing a patriotic song at this moment, I'm not sure what would come out.
And I'm proud to be an American, except for these following facts right now.
Yeah.
And then it would be a 57-minute long song.
Seriously. Okay.
Well, we'll see what the topic is.
Yeah, the topic will very much depend on how we position the song. Mm-hmm.
I am interested to see what you can come up with for research on lyrical themes in country music, because I feel like the lyrics are, you know, half the battle.
I read an interesting article a few months ago
that
was about how country music gets a bad rap for being really like lyrically shallow.
Sure.
And it had some interesting points, which I don't remember super well at this moment.
Helpful.
But, you know, I think there is a stereotype of country. Well, it was especially about like women in country music and like the lyrical themes of women in country music, and how it was like the stance that especially women in country music, but also men in country music have taken of like this kind of what some would call anti-intellectualism, but what other people would call like populism. And like, I'm just trying to be a voice of the people and not trying to like make myself more important or more beautiful or more famous or more interesting than I really am.
So and by singing about things that others may see as simplistic, they're really just connecting with the people they know are listening to their music.
Yes. And like, I think that there are songs that do that in a very pandery way. Uh-huh. And I think that there are songs that do that in probably a very authentic way. But it was this kind of like reclamation. And I forget if we've talked about this before on the podcast, but a reclamation of like redneckism.
Yeah.
And saying like being a redneck isn't something to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. And it's like a valid identity celebrating it in a way.
Was I talking with you about the song Redneck Yacht Club?
No.
Maybe I was talking with my brother about it.
I thought we were talking. Did we talk about Redneck Woman?
I mean, we usually talk about that song together.
Anyway, tell me about Redneck Yacht Club.
Redneck Yacht Club is a song. Let me look up who it's by.
Yeah.
Craig Morgan wrote Redneck Yacht Club. And it talks about how rednecks, in order to form a yacht club, and obviously they do not have yachts, just like tie their party barges together and like have these big parties out on the lake. And it sings about everything they do to have fun, like out on the water with their quote unquote redneck yacht club. So that's kind of a fun thing, too, which are like it's specific to people that may have enough wealth to own a party barge on like a small lake in middle America, but they can't quite call it a yacht club, but they want to participate in that kind of culture. So they're like, we have our own yacht club and here's our song to celebrate it. And here's the kinds of things we do at one of these parties.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that they're along the like redneck kind of lifestyle is that sort of like scrappiness and resourcefulness of like, we might not have a yacht, but we're going to make it. Like we're going to tie a bunch of canoes together and make our own yachts or whatever.
Yeah. Here's some lyrics.
Okay.
I'm meeting my buddies out in the lake. We're headed out to a special place we love that just a few folks know. There's no signing up, no monthly dues. Take your Johnson, your Mercury, or your Evinrude, and fire it up. Meet us out at Party Cove. Come on in. The water's fine. Just idle on over and toss us a line. Bass trackers, bayliners, and a party barge strung together like a floating trailer park, anchored out and getting loud all summer long, side by side. There's five houseboats, front porches, astroturf, lawn chairs, and tiki torches, regular Joes rocking the boat. That's us, the Redneck Yacht Club.
Yeah. You know,
Bermuda's flip-flops and a tank top tan. He popped his first top at 10 a.m. That's Bob. He's our president. You know, all that kind of stuff.
I think like the same kind of thing, and I'm almost positive we talked about Redneck Woman by Gretchen Wilson on this show before, but the chorus is, because I'm a redneck woman, I ain't no high class broad, I'm just a product of my raisin, and I say hey y'all and yeehaw, and I keep my Christmas lights on my front porch all year long, and I know all the words to every Charlie Daniels song.
Right.
So here's to all my sisters out there keeping it country, let me give a big hell yes from the redneck girls like me.
Yeah. So, proclamation of your pride as a quote-unquote redneck or southerner, middle American.
And I would say that that's probably not contemporary country. That's, like, I think pretty solidly country music. Like, this is not going to be like Redneck Yacht Club is not going to be a crossover hit.
Sure.
But so I think we'll try to pick something, I think, with maybe a little bit more of a polished sound.
Yeah.
As we go forward. But I don't know. Interesting to think about.
Yeah. Themes that can appear, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Sure.
Let's get our topic.
Yes. Let's get our topic.
It's time for you to be the inner thoughts of a crash test dummy.
Right. All right. Here we go.
She's ready.
I mean, I'm not, but.
She's ready.
I am sufficiently prepared. Okay. Crash test dummy. I'll show them. I'm a crash test smarty. Crash.
Spin.
Spin.
And I'm spinning in an incognito window.
Okay, finally, since we've been shamed so many times.
Now we know.
Great. Spin.
Friends, your incognito advice did not help.
Yeah, because what the jeebus?
We got a country radio station based in Pittsburgh. It's everything that applies to us.
Yep.
We're not using it. Nope. Spinning again.
Okay, well, here
we go. Okay, this one's good.
This is good.
The Oregon Institute of Marine Biology.
Or the OIMB.
Wow. It is the marine station of the University of Oregon. It's 100 acres. It's a marine station located in Charleston, Oregon, at the mouth of Coos Bay.
Coos Bay.
Spelled C-O-O-S. Currently, the OIMB is home to several permanent faculty members and a number of graduate students. It is a member of the National Association of Marine Laboratories. In addition to graduate research, undergraduate classes are offered year-round, including marine birds and mammals, estuarine biology, marine ecology, invertebrate zoology, molecular biology, biology of fishes, biological oceanography, and embryology.
Cool. The Lloyd and Dorothy Rippey Library was added to the campus in 1999. Is this interesting? Can't really tell. The Charleston Marine Life Center is currently under construction. Ooh. And it will be a public museum and aquarium at the edge of the harbor in Charleston, Oregon, across the street from the OIMB campus.
It was established in 1924.
Wow. Old, operating out of tents along the beaches of Sunset Bay.
Oh, during World War II, the property was acquired by the federal government, I presume as a temporarily set up naval base during World War II. Following the war, it was initially returned to Oregon State University, but the University of Oregon reclaimed it in 1955 as a summer research institute. And it has functioned year-round as a research facility since 1966.
Oh, my goodness. The research... There's a section on research vessels, and it's very good.
Oh, good.
The OIMB operates the RV Pluteus, a 42-foot aluminum hull trawler, and the RV Pugetia, a 20-foot aluminum Woolridge boat, and several small vessels, including flat-bottomed aluminum boats, an inflatable Zodiac, and a large kayak.
One large kayak, please.
I love that on their Wikipedia page, they listed one large kayak as like one of their vessels.
What's an inflatable Zodiac?
I don't know. Let's figure that out because that sounds interesting.
Because I'm a Libra.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you know what? I just like never thought about your sign before.
No?
No.
You are an Aquarius?
I am.
Yes.
We've literally never talked about this before.
Does it matter?
Like, it literally does not. It's just interesting that in...
What's your sign? Tweet at us.
Tweet your sign at us for no reason.
We won't care.
Yep. Tweet if you feel like being ignored. Here's some Dom sub stuff.
If you feel like being ignored
by people on the internet, tweet your sign at us and we won't like it or we retweet
won't do
it or anything.
Reaction to
yeah,
it
no
at
reacts.
All. Send it to us multiple times. In fact.
Just spam us.
Hey, Virgo. Hey, Virgo.
Just lousy with sign retweets. No, but I just think it's weird that in 12 years of friendship, we've never talked about what sign we are.
I mean, it's clear that neither of us really are into astrology.
No, I know. It's just funny to me. I don't know. I am looking up inflatable zodiac.
While you do that, I'm going to look at the courses in marine biology that are offered at the University of Oregon. There's a whole list. And I think the one that I would most want to take is seaweed biology.
Ooh. Okay, you're going with seaweed biology. What would I do? That's cool too. You just pointed at.
I regret my decision. I signed up for seaweed biology and then wanted to switch my courses, but it was too late.
Yeah, Scott would drop and take marine bioluminescence.
How cool would that be to figure out like how that works?
That is very cool. You say that like nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Nobody does. Look at this glowing fish.
It's pretty cool. This is cool. I found out what I found out what a inflatable zodiac is.
What is it?
It's just a raft.
Inflatable raft.
It's a raft and you can, it has a seat in it and it looks like you can attach a motor to it.
Great.
But you can get it for $413 at Walmart, or you could buy probably a much more legit one for like $1,700.
I bet the university just bought one at Walmart.
Yeah, probably with their large kayak.
Yep.
gotta get like that grant, write grants for a better zodiac.
Yep. What's your story?
Oh, in eighth grade.
Yeah.
I took a trip with the like little gifted program thing that I did.
A gifted trip.
A gifted trip with a bunch of dorks.
Yep.
And we went to a place called Wallops Island, Virginia.
Wallops Island, yes. Virginia.
And it was
Is it for sale?
I don't know. We should look. It is a... Okay. I'm going to read you a little bit about Wallops Island.
Okay.
It is a 6-square-mile island in Accomack County, Virginia.
It's manageable.
Part of the Virginia Barrier Islands that stretch along the eastern seaboard. And it's just south of Chincoteague Island, which you might have heard of, like the horses at Chincoteague Island.
Oh,
like,
yes. They're like the wild horses.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So they're very famous there. Anyway, but it's a marine reserve, like a wildlife reserve. Mm-hmm. And we got to go for like a long weekend and like stay in these like gross barracks things and then do like experiments or whatever. Mm-hmm. Probably like the best part of it was like being on a trawler and like throwing a net down and like pulling up a bunch of like sea creatures and seeing what we got. And probably the worst part of it
was the dead body you got in the trawler.
Was when we all were detained for so long because we all had to give statements to the police. No, was walking for several miles through a legit swamp.
Ugh.
Not like, ew, it's swampy, but like up to your hips in swamp mud that all smelled like sulfur.
Great.
And being covered in so many mosquitoes that you could grab a handful of them out of the air in front of you.
No.
And at the time, I was immune to mosquito bites, and certain areas of the country, I don't get bitten by mosquitoes. New York is not one of those areas. But I was immune to mosquito bites there.
Huh.
And so everyone else like had their life ruined.
Right.
And I was just like, la, da, 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 just like with total immunity. Yep.
Walking through the mud.
Squelching through the mud. We also did an experiment, or not like an experiment, but we like learned about all these little sea creatures that were in like these little tanks in the lab. And one of them was called sea pork.
Sea pork.
Because it looks like a hunk of pork, and it just is this thing that lives in the ocean, and it's called sea pork. Wait, I'll show you a picture of it.
Okay. This is your like most salient marine biology story?
Yes. This is my only marine biology story. See?
It does look like pork.
Yep. It's just this little pink blob.
It looks like pork that is not safe to eat.
Yeah, no, you definitely don't want to eat this thing. It's pretty gross.
What is sea pork?
What is sea
pork? Ask an aquarium.
Ask an Aquarian.
This is the dawning of the age of sea pork.
Oh, look at this chihuahua next to this big hunk of sea pork.
Ew. Looks like a brain.
Hold on. I'm going to Google. Here's what I'm going to Google. Are you ready?
No. Giant Sea Pork.
Giant Sea Pork.
This is like the game that I played with my brother once on Google where you can take any song, mm-hmm. like literally any song you can think of, and on the internet, you can write techno version.
Oh, yeah.
And you will find it.
Yeah.
This is like any item in the world, you can Google it with the word giant in front of it.
Or,
you'll find
or
it.
Miniature.
Or miniature. Yeah.
So, oh, no, whoa. That's jellyfish.
10-ton Japanese jellyfish? What?
That's crazy. Is this sea pork?
Ew.
That's a sea squirt, not sea pork. Anyway.
Anyway, it exists.
I don't like that I searched giant sea pork and a image of Nature's Promise sausage patties came up. That's a little scary. Maybe don't eat those. Oh,
I hate that.
Otters are really scary.
Ew.
Oh,
eating
my goodness.
Like a lionfish?
Y'all, there's otters are nasty. There's some pictures of otters just like chowing down on fish and they look demonic.
God.
They have giant sharp teeth and there's blood all over their faces and stuff.
Yeah, look at those cute otters.
Oh my God.
Terrifying. Ugh. Well,
anyway,
this is a rabbit hole.
This was a rabbit hole. Sorry. What are we talking about? Oregon.
Contemporary country music song about the Oregon Institute of Marine Biology.
Excellent. I'm going to do a little bit of research on lyrics, but I think I'll probably focus more of my research on the Oregon Institute of Marine Biology.
Great. I'm going to listen to some more examples of contemporary country music.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye. Forever.
So, music.
Music.
I listened to more examples.
We listened to some very good examples.
One of the most famous being Wagon Wheel by Darius Rucker, who we mentioned, who used to be the front man of Hootie and the Blowfish, has that very popular song, Rock Me Mama Like a Wagon Wheel.
Rock Me Mama Like a
Banana
feel.
Peel. Hey, mama rock me. Great music video if you want to watch it. Check it out and try to determine, like we did, what time he's in.
When are you, Darius Rucker?
I was watching it and I was like, South, get new things.
Yeah, just everything's
Why
so old.
Why is everything so old? And he's like looking at his reflection in a medicine bottle. I'm like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Find a mirror.
Everyone's trucks are so old, but they're so new.
Right.
Like
they're new old.
Pristine, but they're very truck. Old.
Maybe it's about time travel. We don't know.
Maybe.
We listened to some Little Big Town Girl Crush.
That one was disturbing.
Yeah, it's about a girl that wants to like kill your girlfriend and like become her so you love her, basically.
She literally says she wants to taste her lips because they taste like you.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and it's not
pleasant.
Mm-mm. It's Swim Fan.
It is.
It's just Swim Fan.
And then we found a very interesting song that I was very tempted to just use as our final product for this episode called Shut Up and Fish.
Yeah. So we were just like, what if we just were like, and here's the song. And then it was just Maddie and Tay's Shut Up and Fish.
Which has almost 27 million views on YouTube.
And it's about these two girls who are fishing.
Out fishing
like you do. And then a city boy shows up. He's literally wearing like two polo shirts.
And then like a sweater tied around the polo shirt.
And he just wants to like, he's being a redneck tourist is what he's doing.
Right.
And he just wants to like take pictures of fishing with the girl and he's grossed out by the fish.
And she's like, he wanted to do more than look at bass.
Yeah. And he's like lifting up her shirt tied around her waist and looking at her ass.
And then the moral of the story is, shut up and fish.
Yeah, it could only be better if you would just shut up and fish.
So we listened to that. Listened to some Miranda Lambert, some Kacey Musgraves.
And I take it back when I said that the seems like the groups are fronted mostly by men. There are actually like a couple, like Big Little Town. What was it?
Big Town and Lady Antebellum are both like
male and female.
Equal members of males
and
females.
Yeah, so never mind what I said. I mean, I talk out my A-S all the time on this show. So that was just my impression. Yeah. Oh, and Rascal Flatts was the band that I was thinking of that I could not remember the name of.
Rascal Flatts.
Rascal Flatts.
So after listening to all those, I wanted to, for my instrumentation in this song, use what is very commonly heard in these contemporary country songs, which is an emphasis on acoustic guitar over electric guitar, bass, drums, like you would have in a normal pop rock group, mm-hmm. and then the addition of instruments that are found in country and bluegrass music, such as banjo, and the pedal steel guitar, otherwise known as lap steel guitar. There's a little bit of a difference between those two, but they have a similar sound.
Hmm.
But that's that higher, like, kind of like twangy guitar sound. Which, fun fact, I learned that in the world of bluegrass, uh-huh. fiddle players were very upset about the appearance of pedal steel and lap steel guitar players on the scene because it fills the same role in the band as a fiddle. But guitar players could just do it themselves.
Oh.
So it has those more sustained, longer, higher tones than an acoustic guitar does.
Took
so.
Their jobs.
Der, 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 der. Classic South Park reference.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to use that. And I'm going to do a sort of like introspective verse
mm-hmm.
feel without any drum beat behind it. And then once the chorus kicks in, it'll feel more, a little more like joyous almost.
Yeah.
Once the chorus comes in. But a lot of these popular songs, including things like Wagon Wheel, like start out with just a guitar and then build up as the rest of the song comes in. And then a lot of background vocals in country music these days, either with these groups or with solo singers, you'll always hear layering of background vocals with them.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do.
From a lyrical perspective, a lot of the songs focus on loss of a lover to another person specifically.
Yes.
And it's not just like you're gone, but it's like you're gone and you're with that person.
Ugh.
And so I wanted to infuse a little bit of that, but then I also really liked the idea of like a lot of contemporary country songs and country songs in general have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And like the Shut Up and Fish song is like, it's fun. Like it's supposed
really
to be funny.
Yeah.
Like
it's meant not, to be funny.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of songs like that. Like Redneck Woman has a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Friends in Low Places has a sense of humor. There's the like Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Yeah. Like it's funny. So I wanted to also kind of blend the two. So it might seem like it's a sad song.
Yeah.
But actually like in the chorus, the speaker like reclaims the like sadness and is like, actually I'm like better off.
There you go.
So
I like it.
And I also looked at the Oregon Institute of Marine Biology's website.
Mm-hmm.
Read some stuff about
boats.
Their boats. They talk about how their boats can be used for trawling, dredging, bottom grabs, plankton sampling, whale watching.
I just want to grab some bass.
Yeah, some bass.
Bass.
I mean, I can guess what bottom grabs are, I suppose, from the context clues. But anyway, it's funny. And you can also, if you go to the Oregon Institute of Marine Biology, you can study abroad in Panama if
Ooh.
You would like to study tropical fishies.
I like that.
And currently, if you are in the market for a new job,
yes,
they are looking for a cook.
Oh.
So if you'd like to be a cook at the Oregon Institute of Marine Biology.
Well, kids, on tonight's menu, we have fresh caught langoustine. That was my project. Yeah.
Just can you imagine if you were a cook just going around cooking everybody's projects?
Thank you, Charles, for the langoustine.
That was my thesis.
Your thesis, Dean.
Your thesis, Dean, tastes delicious.
So anyway, it's a lovely little website. And their logo is like a one of those like a big crab.
Cancer.
Big crab.
In the zodiac.
Oh my God.
It's all related.
You're right. Are we
safe search or whatever it's called?
It is still cancer.
Incognito did not work.
Yeah, incognito. Yeah. So okay, y'all, if you really think that we just randomly got a country music station after
And Pittsburgh
after
searching
rolling
those things
or spinning a country topic. Anyway. Okay.
So you wrote a song.
I wrote a song. I did. Here we go. So it is if I can find the tab that's open. Okay. We've got a verse, like two verses.
Two verses.
Then a chorus, or sorry, then a pre-chorus, a chorus.
Great.
Okay, here we go. Out in Coos Bay in the trawler, I see you and your scientist pals, nerdy and cute and brilliant to boot, but you can't see past other gals. Mm. You're casting your net to the bottom to dredge up your catch of the day, to study your tag or put in a bag, doing God knows what, having your way. Then the pre-chorus, oh, my daddy didn't teach me much because I hatched from an egg, but at least I learned to swim away from dorks with chicken legs. And the chorus is, other gals go on first dates at the OIMB, but they don't grab my bottom because nobody's going to hook me because there's prettier fish in the sea.
Aw, cute.
But like, it's good that it's an ugly fish.
Yeah, an ugly fish that doesn't want to be caught.
Yep.
A big old piece of sea pork.
I was trying to work in the sea pork and I was like, maybe you can just imagine it from the perspective of the sea pork.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to explicitly say sea pork because I wanted people to be able to identify with it.
Right. Or like a blobfish.
Yeah.
Prettier fish in the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Cute. Is that the title?
Prettier fish in the sea? I think so.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That sounds like it could be a real country music song title.
Yeah. So I also looked up a WikiHow article on writing a country song. And one of the things it said was the hook is often a common expression, but twisted a little bit on its head. Like, I've got friends in low places.
Right.
And there's apparently another one.
There's a lot of punny.
Yeah. There's one. Tim McGraw has It's a Business Doing Pleasure with You.
That's
mm-hmm.
You know, he was real proud of that one.
Yeah, oh, he sure
if
was.
He wrote it.
Yeah, he didn't probably. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he does. I don't know anything about Tim McGraw. I'm talking out my ass. but yeah, so plenty of fish in the sea, obviously, is the expression that I'm playing off of here.
That's
and then
great.
Prettier fish in the sea.
Nice.
Yeah. So there we go.
Jimmy Buffett does this a lot with his song titles.
He does.
Like Off to See the Lizard is one of his songs. Things like that.
Boat drinks.
Well, that's not a pun.
Nope.
That's just something he likes.
Just boat drinks.
All right. Here is
Prettier Fish in the Sea.
A contemporary country music song about the Oregon Institute of Marine Biology.
By Shannon and Scott.
Out in Coos Bay in the trawler, I see you and your scientist pals. Nerdy and cute and brilliant to boot, but you can't see past other gals. You're casting your net to the dredge up your catch of the day, to study your tack or put in a bag, doing God knows what, having your way. Oh, my daddy didn't teach me much because I hatched from an egg, but at least I learned to swim away from dorks with chicken legs. Other gals go on first dates at the OIMB, but they don't grab my bottom because nobody's gonna hook.
That was special guest star Daria Hooker.
I won't tell your wife you called her Daria Hooker.
It's like Darius Rucker.
Yeah, I got it. I just thought it was dumb.
I also thought it was dumb, but I still said it.
Yeah, that's been the theme of this episode. Thought it was dumb, still said it.
That's my autobiography.
Yes. Oh, we found it.
We found it.
Yeah.
No, seriously, thank you to Megan Wasserman.
Yeah.
For singing that song.
Thanks for filling in, because of recording scheduling issues.
And I had wonderful background vocals on it.
As always.
Choir of Scots.
Demon Choir of Scots.
Yep.
The Country Choir of Scots.
Plenty of fish in the choir.
There's plenty of puns about crash dummies. That's what they say.
I'm going to think of a really good one when I go to bed.
Yeah, you're going to sit bolt upright in your bed at 3 a.m.
I was trying to think of like car brands and like, you know, subsets of, you know, car types and things. But
I was just trying to think of crash and dummy. And that was it.
Those are two things?
Well, no, just like crash or like crush or like smash dummy. I couldn't do it.
No. Well, our efforts are better spent
elsewhere
on country music.
Indeed.
That was fun.
It was fun. It's always fun to do a genre like this.
Yeah. Especially contemporary stuff.
Yeah, it is.
To try to get these songs on the radio, which is our ultimate goal.
Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys knew that, but we are trying to be real songwriters.
Yeah.
So if you know anyone who wants to buy the rights to our songs, I mean,
feel free.
Really, like, how has Ed Sheeran not bought the rights to Eyes Like Grapefruit?
Exactly.
By now.
I'm in love with your eyes like grapefruit. Oh, grapefruit.
Not even clever. Anyway, thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
If you could do us a favor.
Do us a flavor.
Yes, please. And write us a review.
Yeah. We're doing a review push starting now.
We're pushing them.
We're pushing them on you to do.
Please do it. No, it would be really great. It helps other people find us the more highly rated we are. And everyone who has given us a review so far has been so generous. And we have all 5-star reviews, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Not anticipating that lasting forever, but maybe.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. But if you could give us a review, it'd be wonderful. We'll give you a shout out on the show. Mm-hmm. And you'll have our undying thanks. We also sent out a couple more stickers for Patreon donors over the last like 2 or 3 days. So you, if you submitted your address and you haven't got one yet, you will get one soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do need to figure out a way for if anyone else would like to buy a sticker. We're probably just going to set up some
just
kind
message
of
message us.
Yeah, just
we'll
message,
figure it out.
Yeah, we'll work with you directly. You can just tweet at us and. We will figure out how to mail it to you and what a fair price is for a sticker.
So tweet at us at Song Salad Cast. Visit us at www.songsaladpodcast.com.
The www Join is just never necessary still after all these years.
http://. Join our Facebook group.
The produce section.
Produce section.
It's great. It pops off every Monday.
And join us on Patreon if you so desire, patreon.com/songsalad. If you are a $10 and up Patreon donor, please give us your suggestions for the salad bowl.
Yes, I sent out a message to everyone who's a $10 and up subscriber just on Friday, I think. So
wow.
Check your inboxes. We do still have some suggestions from Nubia, but for every month you have been a $10 subscriber, you can submit a topic or genre suggestion for the salad bowl, and we will draw one randomly for one episode a month, and we will use that as our topic or genre.
You can hear an example of how that went down in our episode Hair for Days, tribute to Selena.
It was a good one.
That was
fun. It was a very good one. Yeah. Get at us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're Prettier Fish in the Sea.
Prettier Fish in the Sea.
Mommy.
Mommy.
Kia Opta Mommy.
Kia Opta Mommy.